By the way, I do have, I didn't turn my phone off because I'm timing myself for 45 minutes so that when the alarm goes off, that tells me it's break time because I have a tendency to just keep going. So I need that, and hopefully my phone's not off. If it does, I'll ignore it. A little bit more of a background about me. When Vicki said I had a BS, it's a BS in education. It's from, and now it's Concordia University. It's in Seward, Nebraska, and it's associated with the other synod, the other Lutheran synod. And I was a director of Christian education for 15 years before going back to Arizona State University and getting my master's degree, and then did 15 years of hospice social work before being 10 years at the Pikes Peak Area Council of Governments Area Agency on Aging. Apologize for my voice. Normally I have a tenor voice. It's a little bit of a baritone. About little 10 days ago or whatnot, I got that crud that was going around. And so I took some time off of work last week, and I'm on the mend, but I still have congestion in the back of my throat and stuff. So I'll, just so that the pastor knows, if I cough, I'll not cough onto the microphone and leave germs behind. So my contact information, hopefully you got two handouts when you came in. One was the PowerPoint presentation, which is what I'm going to be using and referring to as I go through my presentation. And then the other is a single page handout that says dementia on it. Wanted to just spend a little bit of time on that first single page flyer with dementia because it's going to set the stage. It's not in the PowerPoint presentation. Dementia is the umbrella term for memory loss. And there's all different reasons for dementia. Now, just a little bit of an education. I've had caregivers come into my office and I'll say, did your family member have dementia? And they say, no, they have Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. It's the most commonly diagnosed dementia that we have in the country. It is also the most researched dementia that we have in our country. What I tell family caregivers when they come in, so I'll say, well, usually part of the assessment is we'll talk about what's going on medically, which helps me as a former hospice social worker, because that will identify what chronic conditions they're suffering from, and it also tells me what kind of a physical time frame they're on, dealing with, and usually the older we get, we have a tendency of getting eventually multiple chronic illnesses. And usually they'll say they'll have a lot of chronic illnesses, and then they'll say, oh, they're having memory loss. Well, what kind of memory loss? And they'll say, well, not really sure. They have, they remember stuff a long time ago, but their short-term memory is, there's nothing there. And I'll say, well, that may be some kind of a dementia. And then we'll go into, did the doctors say specifically what kind of dementia? They'll say, no, they really don't know. Here's the key. When a person's suffering from memory loss, short-term memory loss, but they have good long-term memory, it may be some kind of a dementia. The medical model likes to put labels on stuff, like is it Alzheimer's, or is it Lewy body, or is it from vascular, you know, strokes or something like that. And the reason they like to put a label on is because that tells the docs what kind of medicine they can prescribe to help with the memory loss. And most people know that with dementia of any kind, you have short-term memory loss, but you retain your long-term memory. Here's what most people don't know. You also have short-term behavior loss, but you retain your long-term behaviors. So whether the person has dementia because it's Lewy body, or stroke, or dementia, or whatever the cause, the behaviors are basically the same. A person with Alzheimer's is going to behave based on their long-term behavior, very similar to somebody else who has similar long-term behaviors but has dementia because it's Lewy body dementia or because it's stroke, okay? So the type of dementia for me as an experienced professional supporting family caregivers doesn't make a difference. And here's why. And I started to learn this when I was doing my hospice work. When we're born, all of us have a what I call a core emotion. That core emotion is how we view life. My core emotion when I was born, as I was growing up, and it's something I'm working on trying to minimize and change and correct, my core emotion has been fear. In other words, when something happens in my life, I catastrophize it. I make a catastrophe out of it. So something minor, like when we were married, my wife, I came home from work, and by the way, my wife is an ordained pastor in the ELCA. When I came home from work, and this is when we were living in Arizona, and she was having a difficult time with her church, and I came home and she said, I just resigned. And I just went ballistic, and she really did. She resigned, and she made it official. And I went from that to having a house and being able to feed ourselves to being homeless out on the street and going to homeless shelters and all of that. Okay, that's how I make something that's a life event and turn it into complete catastrophe. That's my fear. Okay, Nita, my wife, is joy-based. Meaning, she looks at something and she will always see the positive in it. When we first got married, it was nice, but it also drove me nuts. I've gotten used to it, and I've learned how to, I like that. You know, to be able to see the silver lining, to be able to see God's blessings eventually and everything. That's her core emotion. All of you have a core emotion. It's how you view life. Now, when we grow up, our parents, our friends, school, church, teach us social skills to begin to buffer that core. So, when I was in college and as a young adult, people didn't know I was fear-based because I had this nice buffer that would, I could mask it. You know, people wouldn't see it in me. And so they wouldn't know that. My point is, and what I'm getting to, is when people have dementia, the dementia begins to slowly peel away those layers so that it becomes easier and easier to see that core emotion. I've had kids in my office, adult children, who have said, can't figure out Dad. All of a sudden now he's angry. And he was never angry before. And then when I sit down and say, okay, so let's go back. Think about to when you were a kid growing up. Did you ever see Dad get angry quickly? Well, yeah. And then I begin to tease that out. And eventually find out by teasing it out, Dad was always an angry person. He just got good at hiding it. So why isn't he hiding it anymore? It's because the dementia has taken away his ability to hide it, because the dementia has stripped away all of those social skills. Okay? So your core emotion will come out in full bloom later on if you develop dementia when you get older. Which is why kids are saying, Dad's angry, or, you know, he's hitting, he's biting, you know, he's fighting us all of the time. There's other reasons for that. But the other part of that is that's probably the way Dad has always been, but now he has no social skills because the dementia has stripped all of that away, and Dad is Dad. Okay? Now, going back to this little handout. Dementia is the umbrella term, hence the umbrella. And by the way, this isn't I didn't originate this. The person who originated this, her name is, you might want to write this down on the sheet. Her first name is Teepa, T-E-E-P-A. Yeah, good. And her last name is Snow. So circle that, okay? And the reason I'm encouraging you to circle that is because you can go to YouTube, type in her name, hit search, and it will pull up a lot of her videos. She's an expert in the country on helping people cope with the behaviors of people who have dementia. And you can pull up her videos and watch them, and they're very instructive in terms of how to deal with some of those very difficult behaviors. But Alzheimer's disease is listed under the umbrella of vascular dementia, or sometimes called multi-infarct, which is another medical term. Basically, it's people who have dementia because of strokes. There's Lewy body, and if you wanted to draw a line between Lewy body and then over in the extreme right-hand corner down at the bottom, there's Parkinson's. Lewy body, and this is based on my experience as a hospice social worker, Lewy body dementia is, in my mind, strongly associated with people who have Parkinson's. People who have Parkinson's have a tendency, about a third of them have a tendency to develop dementia. And if they develop dementia, it's more of the Lewy body type. Why do I know that? Because in my hospice career, Lewy body wasn't even a dementia that people didn't know about it. But we had, I had hospice patients who had Parkinson's who had dementia. And the doctor saying, we don't know what kind of dementia, so they said it was dementia unspecified. And then about two-thirds of the way of my hospice career, all of a sudden they came out with this new dementia called Lewy body. And it's named after, it's kind of like with Alzheimer's, the plaques and the tangles. There's, with Lewy body, there's this substance that's developed, and they call them Lewy bodies, which then creates the dementia. But it seems to be people who have it also have either Parkinson's or, as medicine is now calling it, Parkinsonian-like symptoms. So now what's happening, in my hospice career, people had Parkinson's, they had dementia, it was unspecified, and then when they came up with the new Lewy body and they identified that, they were saying, well, they have Parkinson's and it's Lewy body dementia. Now, when people are presenting, you know, symptoms of dementia, and they have like some of the tremors and some of the other symptoms of Parkinson's, now what doctors are saying is they have Lewy body dementia with Parkinson-like symptoms. I just find that fascinating from a medical point of view. So keep that in mind. That's just the whole thing about dementia. Now, one other thing, and then we'll get into the presentation. I work with family caregivers, and 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I was doing a presentation at First Presbyterian Church, and we were talking about caregiving, and I was talking about identifying caregivers. For me, this is a family caregiver. It's a person who's not being paid to do the caregiving, and it's somebody who's helping somebody else with daily activities in their life. I get phone calls from people, and they will say, I'm just a neighbor, I'm very concerned about my next door neighbor, and they're not taking good care of themselves, and I know this is because I've been helping them for the last number of months or years, getting them to the doctor's office, making sure they're taking their medicine, sometimes picking up their medicine, and I'll say, oh, you're a caregiver, and they'll say, no, I'm not a caregiver, I'm just a neighbor. Okay, now, to drive the point home a little bit further, things about 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was in the news that George H. Bush 1 went into the hospital in Houston, went into ICU because of pneumonia, and that Barbara was also admitted for exhaustion and a chronic cough. And the picture they showed up on the news, and now, I've been doing this for 25 years. I didn't see a caregiver and a care receiver. I saw a former president and a former first lady. I do this as a professional, as a living, and I didn't see a caregiver and a care receiver. My point is, most of you, if you're not already doing it, will be helping other people, whether it's a family member, whether it's a member of church or whatnot. That makes you a caregiver, but you will not think of yourself as a caregiver. You will just think of yourself as a good Christian helping somebody else. But in my world, you're a caregiver, and I can help you figure things out. Okay? And being a caregiver doesn't commit you to any legal liability. It doesn't. So, with that said, the other thing about family, for me, family caregivers, it can be a neighbor, it can be a member of church, it can be a friend, it can be a partner, it can be a granddaughter, it can be a grandchild, it can be a cousin, it can be a niece and a nephew, it can be an uncle or an aunt, any anybody. It doesn't have to be a husband or a wife. It doesn't have to be adult children taking care of mom and dad. Those are the common ones I deal with, but it's all the other factors that go into play. So, my presentation. By the way, if you want to know how to get a hold of me, it's on the first slide. And I apologize for the small print. My wife keeps saying, you need to make stuff in larger print because older eyes have a difficult time seeing smaller print at the desk here. But there was no way I could get all that on without the small print. So, with dementia and caregiving, what are the warning signs? Memory loss affecting daily life. Now, I will use my family as an example. My mom and dad got divorced when I was in seventh grade, and my dad got remarried shortly after that, and this story is about him and stepmom. My brother and I and my sister, when we would spend time with my dad and stepmom, and this is when we were young adults and whatnot, we thought something was a little strange with our stepmom, but we weren't sure what it was. Looking back on it, based on everything I know now, she had dementia, but as a young adult, I didn't know that. My dad died suddenly in the night in 1987 from his aortic pig valve that he had had put in 10 years earlier, ruptured and let loose, and he bled out at 2 o'clock in the morning in bed, died suddenly. When the aftermath, when we were trying to clean things out, and thank God our dad said, so us, all three of us kids, if something would happen to me, here's where you go to get all the information about this, 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 and this. And he had a Frady hole, and he told us where the Frady hole was and how to access it. So we did all that. But when we went into the house, we found all these sticky notes around the house. The sticky notes were reminders for my stepmom to help her with her memory loss. She had dementia and we didn't know it, because my dad was covering up for her and didn't think we needed to know about it. I'm sharing this story because, as a professional looking back on it, that's probably, it seems to make sense, but as a professional dealing in this field, it's not the best way to deal with that issue, because the dementia is going to continue to get worse. I hate to tell that to you. The medicine that they give for Alzheimer's and other dementias helps ease some of the memory loss, but it doesn't change the progression of the disease. And so taking the medicine to ease the memory loss may make everybody feel better because it's not really that bad. But the other thing it does psychologically is it keeps it, people begin to put off having the hard discussions because you don't like to talk about where it's going. I get that. But you have to have those hard discussions because it's not going to get better. And you have to know your spouse or your mom or your dad, and thinking about what it was like, you know, if you're the adult child helping try to take care of mom and dad, you've got to think about how mom and dad were like when you were young growing up, because as their dementia continues to get worse, that's the person you're probably going to be seeing as you try to help mom and dad as things continue to get worse. So, the memory loss, and when it starts to affect daily life, how do you know it's starting to affect daily life? When you have to leave the sticky notes all over the house. That's when it's starting to affect daily life. That's when you, somebody, whether it's the person who has it, but primarily if it's not, the spouse or the adult kids, need to be sitting down and having a hard discussion about, so what do we do? What's in place? Do you have powers of attorney? What about the finances, all of that? And especially the powers of attorney, because I've had too many conversations with adult kids who they couldn't get mom and dad to